Topic 9. Aspirant. 1. As the aspirant progresses, he not only balances the pairs of opposites, but the secret of his brother's heart becomes revealed to him. He becomes an acknowledged force in the world, and is recognized as one who can be depended upon to serve. Men turn to him for assistance and help along his recognized line, and he begins to sound forth his note so as to be heard not only in human, but in deva ranks as well. This he does at this stage through the pen in literature, through the spoken word in lecturing and teaching, through music, painting, and art. He reaches the hearts of men in some way or another, and becomes a helper and server of his race. From A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, pages 865 through 866. 2. See, therefore, how the life of all aspirants, if progressing with the desired rapidity, is one of constant movement, constant changes and differentiations, and continuous building and breaking, planning and seeing those plans disrupted. It is a life of ceaseless suffering, of frequent clashing with the environing circumstances, of numerous friendships made and transferred, of mutation ceaseless and consequent agony. Ideals are transcended only to be found to be stations on the road to higher. Visions are seen only to be replaced by others. Dreams are dreamt only to be realized and discarded. Friends are made to be loved and left behind, and to follow later and more slowly the footsteps of the striving aspirant. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 264. 3. No aspirant, no matter how sincere and devoted, is free from faults. Were he free, he would be an adept. All aspirants are still selfish, still prone to temper and to irritability, still subject to depression, and even at times to hatred. Oft that temper and hatred may be aroused by what we call just causes: injustice on the part of others, cruelty to human beings and to animals, and the hatreds and viciousness of their fellow men do arouse in them corresponding reactions and cause them much suffering and delay. One thing must ever be remembered. If an aspirant evokes hatred in an associate, if he arouses him to temper, and if he meets with dislike and antagonism, it is because he himself is not entirely harmless. There are still in him the seeds of trouble, for it is a law in nature that we get what we give and produce reactions in line with our activity, be it physical, emotional, or mental. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 483. 4. All aspirants know, and down the ages have been taught, that a clean mind and a pure heart, love of truth, and a life of service and unselfishness are prime requisites. And where they are lacking, naught avails and none of the great secrets can be imparted. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 543. 5. The immediate goal for all aspiring disciples at this time can be seen to be as follows. 1. An achievement of clarity of thought as to their own personal and immediate problems, and primarily the problem as to their objective in service. This is to be done through meditation. 2. The development of sensitivity to the new impulses which are flooding the world at this time. This is to be brought about by loving all men more, and through love and understanding, contacting them with greater facility. Love reveals. 3. The rendering of service with complete impersonality. This is done by eliminating personal ambition and love of power. 4. The refusal to pay attention to public opinion or to failure. This is done by the application of strict attention to the voice of the soul, and by an endeavor to dwell ever in the secret place of the Most High. From A Treatise on White Magic, pages 635 through 636. 6. Not one earnest student goes totally unrecognized. In the press of the work and in the burden and toil of the day's labors, it is an encouragement to know that there are those who watch, and that every loving deed, every aspiring thought, and every unselfish reaction is noted and known. Bear in mind, however, that it comes to the recognition of the helpers through the increased vibration of the aspirant, and not through a specific knowledge of the deed accomplished or the thought sent out. Those who teach are occupied with principles of truth, with vibratory rates, and with the quality of the light to be seen. They are not aware of, nor have they the time to consider, specific deeds, words, and conditions, and the sooner students grasp this and put out of their minds any hope of contacting a phenomenal individual whom they call a master, with so much leisure, of such developed powers that he can occupy himself with their trivial affairs in time and space, the more rapidly will they progress. Where, however, there is steady growth and application to occult principles, so that definite changes are produced in the bodies used, and an increasing radiatory light, it is known and recorded, and the aspirant is rewarded by increased opportunity to serve his fellow man. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 638. This is a continuation of Topic 9, Aspirant. 7. This fivefold experience of an individual life takes place in the following order in the life of the average intelligent aspirant who responds to and takes advantage of the civilization and education of the present time. 1. Appropriation of the physical sheath. This takes place between the fourth and seventh year, when the soul, hitherto overshadowing, takes possession of the physical vehicle. 2. A crisis during adolescence, wherein the soul appropriates the astral vehicle. This crisis is not recognized by the general public and is only dimly sensed from its evidenced temporary abnormalities by the average psychologist. They do not recognize the cause, but only the effects. 3. A similar crisis between the 21st and 25th years, wherein the mind vehicle is appropriated. The man should then begin to respond to egoic influences, and in the case of the advanced man, he frequently does. 4. A crisis between the 35th and 42nd year, wherein conscious contact with the soul is established. The threefold personality then begins to respond as a unit to soul impulse. 5. For the remaining years of life, there should be an increasingly strong relationship between the soul and its vehicles, leading to another crisis between the 56th and 63rd years. According to that crisis, will depend the future usefulness of the person, and whether the ego continues to use the vehicles on into old age, or whether there is a gradual withdrawal of the indwelling entity. There are many corresponding cycles of crisis in the life history of any soul down through the ages, but these five major crises can be traced with clarity from the standpoint of higher vision. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology 2, page 53. 8. Psychic sensitivity, mystical duality, and dominating power. These are the three major problems of the aspirant and should be studied and understood. They affect the three major centers, the head, the heart, and the center between the eyebrows, in the disciple, for psychic sensitivity is related to the heart, mystic duality to the Ajna center, and the problem of power to the highest head center. In the aspirant or advanced human being, they affect the throat, the solar plexus, and the sacral center. But as they are definitely due to an expansion of consciousness, they have little registered or noticeable effect upon the unevolved man or upon the average man who is preoccupied with physical plane life and emotional reactions. He is not passing through the stimulating but disrupting processes of reorientation, of recognizing duality, and of fusion of the personality. As we have earlier seen, the processes of integration bring their own problems. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology 2, page 614. 9. Your major need is for an intensification of your inner spiritual aspiration. You need to work more definitely from what might be called a point of tension. Study what is said about tension and intensity. It is intensity of purpose which will change you from the plodding, fairly satisfactory aspirant into the disciple whose heart and mind are aflame. Perhaps, however, you prefer to go forward steadily with no group effort, making your work for me and for the group an ordered part of the daily life, which you can adjust pretty much as you like, and in which the life of the spirit receives its reasonable share, in which the service aspect is not neglected, and your life presentation is neatly balanced and carried forward without much real strain. When this is the case, it may be your personality choice or your sole decision for a specific life, but it means that you are not the disciple, with everything subordinated to the life of discipleship. I would here like to point out two things. First, if you can so change your tension that you are driven by the life of the Spirit, it will entail a galvanic upheaval in your inner life. For this, are you prepared? Secondly, it will not produce any outer change in your environing relationships. Your outer obligations and interests must continue to be met, but I am talking in terms of inner orientations, dynamic inner decisions, and an interior organizing for service and sacrifice. Perhaps you prefer the slow and easier way. If that is so, it is entirely your own affair, and you are still on your way. You are still a constructive and useful person. I am simply here facing you with one of the crises which come in the life of all disciples, wherein choices have to be made that are determining for a cycle, but for a cycle only. It is preeminently a question of speed. This means eliminating the non-essentials and concentrating on the essentials, the inner essentials as they concern the soul and its relation to the personality, and the outer ones as they concern you and your environment. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 496, and from Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 538. 10. Your major task as aspirants is to cultivate the higher sensitivity, to render yourselves so pure and selfless that your mind remains undisturbed by the happenings in the three worlds, to seek that attentive spiritual sense which will enable you to be impressed and then to interpret correctly the impressions received. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 549. 11. The goal of the majority of aspirants is not to limit their consciousness by a concentration on minutiae, such as the permanent atoms and the details connected with the individual form nature. The objective of each aspirant is to expand his consciousness to include that which lies beyond himself, to attain to the more elevated states of consciousness in the life of the group and of humanity, and to integrate himself consciously into the hierarchy, eventually into Shambhala, and occultly to know God in his many phases of all-inclusive extension and perfection. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 766.